بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the continuation on the explanation of the Salah described. And this is class number 11. We have finished with the posture of ruku' and now we're going to talk about sujood. So after standing up from ruku' and saying the remembrances which we mentioned in the previous class, the musalli should be aware that he should not rush for sujood before he stays tranquil in the standing position, because the one who does not fulfill the tranquility in the standing position, then his salah is nullified, because this is a pillar, ruknun min arkan as-salah, a pillar of the pillars of salah. After words, the musalli yakhirru mukabbiran sajida, goes down for prostrating, saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. And this came in the hadith. When he wanted to perform sajda, he would say takbir and perform the sajda. Whether he raises his hands with takbir or not upon going for sujood, then there is a difference of opinion about this matter. There is a report, however, by Nasa'i and Daraqutni with Sahih Isnad, that sometimes he would raise his hands when performing sajda, and that this has been reported from some of the companions, a number of the righteous predecessors considered this to be correct, and from them Ibn Umar, Ibn Abbas, and Hassan al-Basri, Tawus, and his son Abdullah, and others. There are 7 limbs on which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prostrate, and he commanded this as well alayhi salatu wa sallam. And in the narration by Ibn Abbas, أُمِرْنَا أَن نَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمْ أَوْ أَعْضَاءِ عَلَى الْجَبْهَةِ وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ وَالْكَفَّيْنِ وَالْرُكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. We have been ordered to prostrate on 7 bones, on the forehead, and he indicated by moving his hand around the nose, the hands, and in one narration the palms, the knees, and the toes. The nose follows the forehead in ruling, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to it, and as to the manner in which he goes down, should he go on his knees first or on his hands first, this is a matter of difference of opinion amongst the scholars, and it is of the type of tolerable difference. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, when a slave prostrates, 7 limbs prostrate with him. his face, his palms, his knees, and his feet. And in the posture of prostration, the musalli would rest his forearms on the ground, as came in the authentic sunnah. However, he would raise them above the ground and keep them away from his sides, separate his hands from his sides. And the Prophet ﷺ used to do that. And it is described that he would raise them above the ground and keep them away from his sides, such that the whiteness of his armpits could be seen from behind, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in one narration, such that if a small lamb or kid wanted to pass under his arms, it would have been able to do so. And this even drew the attention of the companions. They felt sorry for the Prophet ﷺ, as in one narration, كانوا يرقون له من شدة مجافاته صلوات الله وسلامه عليه, as in the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood. The companions mentioned, we used to feel sorry for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the way he kept his hands away from his sides, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that, and he ordered, when you perform sajda, place your palms on the ground and raise your elbows and be level in sujood, and none of you should spread his forearms like the spreading of dog. In one narration, like a dog spreads them. And in a separate hadith, none of you should rest arms on the ground the way a dog rests them. However, there is an exception for this separation of the hands from the sides, and this is if the musalli is in a congregation and he fears that he may hurt his neighbor, then it is not recommended because of the harm inflicted upon the neighbor, and that this separation is a sunnah, and causing harm, the least of which is disliked, and a matter which is disliked and hurts and interrupts his salah, taking away from his concentration in order to perform this separation of the hands, this is not recommended. And that's why the ulama rahimahumullah mentioned, as long as he does not cause harm to his neighbor. And it should be known that if you leave this sunnah so that you don't harm your neighbor, and Allah knows your intention, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for you, will record for you its reward. Because the person, if he relinquishes an action for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him something better. Even to the extent that if he relinquishes it without choice, without his choice, like in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, من مرض أو سافر كتب له ما كان يعمل صحيحا مقيما, as in the hadith in Al-Bukhari in volume 4, whenever a slave, a believer, falls ill or travels, then he will get written to him or to his account the reward similar to that he used to get for his good deeds practiced at home when in good health. Can the person make sujood on a barrier, and this barrier, other than the parts of sujood we mentioned earlier. This may include the garment, a head cover, and any other barrier which is of the same kind as the ground, the earth, or different, of a different kind, as long as it is pure. This matter of barriers, the people of knowledge classified the barrier into two types. The first type is that which is attached to the musalli. That which is attached to the musalli, to the one praying. The ruling concerning this is disliked unless there is a need. It is disliked to make sujood on it unless there is a need. Example for that which is attached to the musalli is the garment or a clock or a head cover like the ghutra and the like. The evidence for this is the hadith of Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. And Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and in Al-Bukhari it is in volume 1, hadith number 382. He, Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu, said, كُنَّا نُصَلِّي مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ فَإِذَا لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَحَدُنَا أَيْ يُمَكِّنَ جَبْهَتَهُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ بَسَطَ ثَوْبَهُ فَسَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, we used to offer the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of us used to place the ends of their clothes at the place of prostration because of scorching heat. So therefore, his saying, إِذَا لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَحَدُنَا أَنْ يُمَكِّنَ جَبْهَتَهُ, if the one of us could not firmly put his head, forehead, on the ground, then he would stretch the ends of, or put the ends of the clothes, of their clothes, on the place of prostration because of the scorching heat. So here it's obvious that they didn't do this if they were able. And his saying that they couldn't do the prostration because of the heat indicates that putting this end without a need, the end of the clothes as a barrier without a need, is something disliked. This is the first type, and it's ruling. The second type is إذا كان منفصلا, if the barrier is separate, then this is okay and there is no harm and it is not disliked, because it is affirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrated on a khumrah, on a mat made of leaves of date palm trees, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's affirmed that he prostrated on a khumrah, a mat made of leaves of date palm trees, that accommodates the forehead of the musalli and his palms only. There remains one type which is forbidden, obviously, using any part of the parts of sujood, then sujood on it is unlawful. It is khumrah. Khumrah. As to the part which is separable or separated, the people of knowledge caution that it is disliked to have a special barrier for the forehead only. It is disliked to have a special barrier. Even we're talking about the separate barrier, of course, to make sujood on it by the forehead. And they reasoned that this resembles the way of the Rafida in their salah, because the Rafida take this as a matter of worship. They take a piece of clay, they make it from the dirt from the Najaf area in Iraq, around Baghdad or in Baghdad, the Najaf. So they make this and they put their forehead in sujood on it. And that's why you find at the doors of their places of worship special cupboards filled with these stones. Whenever the person would enter, will take one to prostrate on it. And some think that it is not permissible to make sujood except on something which is of the same type as the earth. And therefore they concluded that it is not permissible to prostrate on other than the kind of earth. Even from the leaves of date palm trees. While we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself prostrated on that, as in the hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, volume 1, hadith number 377. And in this hadith, the hadith of Anas bin Malik, he said أن جدته مليكة, that his grandmother مليكة, may Allah be pleased with her, دعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لطعام صنعته له. She invited Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for a meal which she herself had prepared. فأكل منه, he ate from it and said, ثم قال قوموا فلأصلي, قوموا فلأصلي لكم, get up, I will lead you in salah. قال أنس فقمت إلى حصير لنا. Anas added, I took my hasir, this mat. قَدْ سُوَدَّ مِنْ طُولِ مَا لُبِسْ, washed it with water as it had become dark because of long use. فَنَضَحْتُهُ بِمَا فَقَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَصَفَفْتُ أَنَا وَالْيَتِيمُ وَرَاءَهُ. And Allah's Messenger stood on it, and then the orphan and I aligned behind him. وَالْعَجُوزُ مِنْ وَرَائِنَا, and the old lady Mulaika stood behind us. فصلى لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتين ثم انصرف. And he, Allah's Messenger, led us in salah and offered two rak'ah and then left. Now, the sujood on these seven bones is mandatory. In all the, under the condition of prostration, meaning the person cannot lift up one part during sujood, whether it's a hand or a feet or a nose or a forehead. If he does this during the entire condition of the sujood prostration, then in this case his sujood is not valid, because in this case the number of seven bones became diminished. But suppose during sujood the person feels an itch in his feet, in one of his feet, and he itches it with the other feet, by the other feet. It may be said that his salah is invalid because he abandoned a rukun by scratching it with the other foot. And it may be said still that it is permissible, because overall he is still considered prostrating on the seven. And therefore the precautionary thing is, let him be patient until he finishes the salah. Case: suppose the musalli is unable to perform the sujood on some of the parts or by some of his parts. Here we have a foundation. It is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Taghabun, chapter 64, verse 16. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. If I command you to do something, فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, then do that which you are able to do of it. So suppose that he may have a wound in one of his hands such that he is unable to prostrate on it. So let him prostrate on the rest of the parts because of the evidences in these foundations. And suppose he had done a surgical operation in one of his eyes and he was told, don't prostrate on the ground, then let him bend to the best of his ability and put on the ground from the parts of sujood he is able to put. Suppose a person is unable to bend, then it is not binding upon him to make the sujood. However, if he is able to incline or move slightly, then he moves to the best of his ability as much as he can in the direction of sujood. And if he is able to put any of these parts on the ground, then let him do so. And the wisdom of sujood, it is from the perfection of worship, to Allah and humbling oneself to Him. Because the person puts the most noble of himself, and his face, this is his face, along that which is lowest of his parts, and that is his feet. And he puts the face on the ground upon which people's feet are placed. He puts all of this as a worship to Allah Azza wa Jal, and as a means of nearness to Him. And because of this humbleness and humility, the person becomes in a state most close to his Lord. And anyone who humbles himself to Allah, Allah lifts him in honor. This is the secret and wisdom behind this sujood. And that's why one should prostrate his heart before his body parts, meaning he should feel this humility and this humbleness to Allah, so that he really attains the enjoyment of sujood and its sweetness, and knows that he is in the most upper, closest position, most upper to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a matter which is unfortunately remembered only by the few. The few who prostrate their inward and make their outward prostrating in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Our Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Utaymeen, swore saying, وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ, verily, by Allah, وَأُشْهِدُ اللَّهِ, and take Allah as a witness, أَنَّنَا لَوْ أَقَمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي, if we establish the salah as it should be, لَكُنَّا كُلَّمَا خَرَجْنَا مِنْ صَلَاةٍ نَخْرُجُ بِإِيمَانٍ جَدِيدٍ قَوِيٍ, every time we leave a salah and finish it, then we would come out with a new, renewed iman, strong and new. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut in 29:45, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, recite what has been revealed to you of the book and perform salah. Verily, a salah prevents from great sins of every kind, unlawful sexual intercourse, and munkar, every kind of evil, wicked deed. He added, لكن نسأل الله, however we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أن يعاملنا بعفوه, that He treats us by His pardoning. We enter the salah in a state of heart and then leave in a different one. And they leave in rather the same one, because we don't bring therein to the salah the humbleness and submissiveness of the heart, and we don't bring in the contemplations regarding all these movements and these remembrances which revolves between the citation of the Quran and the praising and magnification of Allah and His takbir and His invocation and describing Him with the most perfect attributes, but we are negligent regarding the fulfillment of these matters. And it is reported in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the fire from burning the parts of sujood, and this concerns the disobedient believers who may be admitted to the hellfire if Allah does not forgive them, and if they don't have good deeds that outweigh their bad deeds and outnumber them, then they may be punished in the fire of hell to the extent or in accordance with the degree of their sins. However, these parts of the sujood are respected, not burned by the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save all of our bodies and souls from the torment of hell. In the state of prostration, the musalli separates his abdomen or belly from his thighs, lifts it above the thighs, as well as lifts the thighs from the chins and levels himself in sujood, and also separates his knees, meaning he does not join them together, and eases himself in sujood. As to the feet, some of the scholars are with the opinion that the musalli separates the feet, keep them apart, because they follow the chins and the knees. However, what is apparent from the sunnah is that the feet are to be held together, as reported in the sahih from hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she missed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and searched for him, her hand fell on his feet while he was making sujood, and one hand, when it falls on the feet, on both, this can only be when they are brought together. And as to the position of the hands in the sujood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leveled them with his shoulders, and sometimes leveled them with his ears. This is the posture of sujood. And as to what is said in the sujood, this will be the topic of the next class. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.